some changes at Bossier City Hall. Actually, it's the City of Bossier City.
Okay.
That's the official name at City Hall and Bossier City. It's the City of Bossier City.
All right.
I'll stop that. Mayor Tommy Chandler joining us on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Tommy, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Aaron. Good morning. And good morning, my friend Ruben. Hey, it's the great city of Bossier.
Oh, the great. I'm sorry, I forgot.
Oh, he forgot the great, yeah.
The great city of the city of Bossier. Yeah, well, okay. Well, you've had some kind of some changes going on at City Hall. The CAO, Amanda Nottingham, she's left and gone to SWEPCO. What instigated this decision?
I mean, it's her life. She can do what she wants to do. I mean, I'm going to miss her, and the whole city's going to miss her. Brett Madison is getting someone that has the best work ethics I've ever worked with before. She's in early. She leaves late. I could ask her a question, and she'd already have it looked up and already in a file and everything. And we're going to miss her big time.
So this was her decision?
Oh, yes. Yes, ma'am. She wasn't looking. No, she wasn't looking. She told me she wasn't looking. And I think they came to her. She told me that it was a very, very hard decision because up there in my office, we all are we're sad, but we're happy for her, you know.
She was the CAO, mm-hmm. and she has gone now. She's the Vice President of External Affairs for SWEPCO.
She'll start that job on the 6th of January, I'm told. Is she still with the city, or is she gone now?
Oh, yes, ma'am. She better be there bright early this morning, I can tell you that.
So she did give you 2 weeks' notice, to get kind of a little transition.
Oh, yes. And we have a council meeting this afternoon, too, so she'll be there. Yeah, we're going to miss her dramatically. She's really a great person. Her husband, her family, they all are great people. And we're happy for her. Well, we're going to miss her, but we know that Brett Madison and SWEPCO is – I hope they – her getting in there, I hope my electric bill comes down. She's so good. You know what I'm saying?
Well, those sound like big shoes to fill. Not that she has large feet, but you know what I'm saying. So what's next, Tommy, Mayor of Bossier City? Is there going to be a search committee? Do you put together a team? What?
You know, I get him and the city council approves. I'm still kind of numb from finding out she's leaving because she's really a great person, but and a great worker. I will here. It's not even been but a few days, and I will start looking here pretty soon. Her shoes are going to be hard to fill, you know, and I'm going to make sure I get someone that's going to be even half as good as her.
Do you have somebody on staff that can serve as interim in the meantime, and while you're searching?
Yes, ma'am.
Who's that going to be?
I mean, my whole office up there will help me. You know, Miss Carol, Barbara, you know, Lewis, and I got other people that can help me up there too. You know, when I first came in and was elected, I was without a CAO for months. So I've already gone down this road before when I first got elected. And I was signing more of 100 to 150 sheets of paper a day and kind of going over stuff, working the two or three different jobs in the city hall.
What kind of person are you looking for? If somebody's thinking, hey, maybe I could do that job, what qualification do you have to be CAO of Bossier?
So, well, first, you got to love Bossier City. Everybody loves Bossier City over here. Of course, they got to be smart. They got to be approachable. They got to be a business friendly. Know politics in and out and how to work into the system. Be there for me and be there for the campus. So I need somebody to be, and Amanda, she did more than that. So she, it's going to be hard to feel.
Budget skills too, I would assume?
There's some kind of financial requirements, aren't there?
All that with government, stuff like that. Budgets, you know, permits, you know, all kinds of different things, getting money, you know, from the state and whatnot and working with state officials, local officials, you know, senators, you know, all the councilmen, everything. Just there's a lot to it. I'm still going over, you know, I'm going to be looking, and it's going to be somebody that's going to have to be good to take her shoes.
Well, this isn't the only position that you're looking to fill. Your fire chief, Brad Zagone, he's retiring, what, end of this year, first of next year? How's that search?
Sir, I'm getting a double whammy on this. So, yeah.
But you've been
the chief now for 15 years. Mm. And this will be both of them's last council meeting today. And Brad is like family. He told me he would stay when I got elected for that one term, and he said he'll stay that, and he did. He kept his promise, and now I do have somebody else now. I can go ahead and announce it. It's Blair Bockhaus. He is, he's going to be in there for my next chief.
Tell us about him. What's his history?
He's big in the EMT part of it too, so he knows all that side. He's
within the Bossier Fire Department now already, right?
Oh yes, sir. I should have looked at it. He's been there 20 something years.
Wow.
So I think 21 or 22 years, I believe, if I'm right. Blair's a smart man. You know, that took me over a year to finally pinpoint somebody out. I had 14 or 18 different people take the test. I went through all the interviews, got down to like 6. Then I got down to 3, then I got down to 2, and then, you know, and not that was, you know, Blair was hard to pick from. I just had so many good people that applied for the job, and that was very hard to determine which one I wanted. And then I think Blair's going to do an outstanding job.
Now, when does he start?
He'll start, well, Brad's last day is January 2nd. So
okay.
Blair will start. Well, he's kind of in training mode right now already. And then he has a year of probation before I really got to hire him. So it'll start probably the 3rd of January.
He has good relationships, a good people person?
Oh, you know, even one day I was out getting gas in my city car, and a fireman run out of the fire station, went up and hugged my neck and appreciated for who I picked. I mean, you know, I've had my back patted a lot for the person I picked, you know, on that. So it makes me feel good that all the firemen, you know, they like him, can work with him, have worked with him, and are planning to work with him a lot longer.
One more thing, a different subject, the boardwalk. Are we having any more good news coming from the boardwalk in the future there?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Pickler, they said they could, they're going to have a soft opening in January and open up more like into February now. Have you been down there lately and saw the boardwalk?
I have not.
You need to go down there. We power washed the whole bottom floor of the parking lot, restriped it. We repainted it, put a emblem on the north side with a big thing with a Bossier police seal on there that people know that we're there for protection and safety. As you walk in the breezeway, all the walls have been painted and cleaned up. We're going to have some TVs and stuff like that there to tell you what's going to be going on in or where we'll be inside the
How about any more retailers coming in? What's the interest?
What is the interest? Everybody wants to be down there right now.
So has anybody signed paperwork to move down there?
Ma'am?
Any paperwork signed to move more retailers in?
They're coming, yes, ma'am. But as you walk through the breezeway, you know how it had the rock that you used to cover the ground to walk on?
Yeah.
We took all that up and put in some concrete to be smooth, so it'll be a lot smoother for people. We're cleaning it up down there. City's doing their due diligence and wanting to come down.
And we're going to start getting, you say, stores are going to start coming back in?
Yes, sir.
Awesome.
Well, I mean, it'll be a lot of entertainment stuff coming down there, too.
Well, that'll okay. work, too.
Can you give us any tips?
You know, we don't want a firecracker to come out now, right now. We want a big blast when we announce all this, because it's going to be more than one or two things coming in.
Sounds like there are things in the works then.
Yeah, Regal's also looking to update their area too.
Boy, if they do, they could get a lot of business from Tinseltown.
I hear they're saying rodent free now.
Are they advertising rodent free?
I didn't plug that in for that though.
What about a data? What about a data center for Bossier? Are y'all talking to any data centers for Bossier?
You know what? If one comes here, my arms are wide open, and I'm saying, "Come on, Bossier City, Bossier Parish, we would love for something like that to come."
How about 500 feet from your house?
They don't hurt my feelings. They ain't gonna be loud or nothing like that. You know, they're gonna use our water and stuff like that. But you know, I'm if they want to come to Bossier City, we're welcoming them.
Well, now that brings up an interesting question, though. Does Bossier have the water capabilities? Isn't the Red River the water source for Bossier?
Yes, sir. I mean, if the Red River dries up, we're all in trouble.
Yeah. You got plenty of water
right.
flowing down.
Yeah.
Mayor Tommy Chandler, thank you for being open to whatever we threw at you this morning. You did a great job.
Thank you, ma'am. It was nice talking to you.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas.
Tommy, talk to you soon. We got to do lunch.
I'm ready.
All right. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Ruby,
I might need you here real quick too. There's a huge debate online, social media. People are in a tizzy.
Oh, boy.
About this. They're in a tizzy.
Oh, no.
Because there apparently is a real, real push that Christmas trees should be blue.
What?
People aren't. Yes.
What?
Blue Christmas trees apparently are all the rage now.
Sure.
When did this happen?
Really?
Do you go out
into the woods and get a blue Christmas tree and cut it down?
Where do you grow blue Christmas trees?
Right.
Apparently, the sale of blue, artificial blue trees is now getting close to green. What the heck?
You know, a few years ago, the fad was hanging your Christmas tree upside down from your ceiling.
I remember that.
Remember that? You remember that?
I thought that was a drug dealer's house.
And what was the logic of that? Do you remember?
No.
No, there's no logic. Okay. You just smoked too much weed or something.
There was a reason or something for it. There was a reason.
I don't know why blue Christmas trees are now all the rage. What happened? When did this happen?
I don't know. That's like that blue football field in Iowa.
Yeah. It just drives me crazy.
My meemaw always used to get the frosted Christmas tree.
Okay, I can go with that.
They would. You don't see them a lot anymore, and I'm wondering if there was something in that tree frosting that was mess you up if you breathed
it was
in.
Asbestos, wasn't it?
It was probably straight asbestos.
Remember, was it the 60s or 70s? The silver?
Oh, yeah.
It was like the silver. Just no.
No.
We went and cut ours down.
Mm-hmm. We did, too. Go cut it down and drag it home. Yep. Dropped it on one of the kids one time.
Whoops.
Yep. Oopsie.
They're not that heavy.
Right. They're fine. They're Marines now, so it didn't hurt them at all.
They're okay,
Meeting tonight, Broadmoor Library. We spoke with Shreveport City Councilman Grayson Butcher, who is along with Jim Talaferro, has organized that meeting about the data center, letting people get input. Hear what Grayson Butcher has to say right after the news, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I don't have a whole lot of time to do this justice. We're going to have to get to this later this morning. But, Aaron, I came across a quote.
From your buddy.
And Ruben, turn up my computer, if you will, too, by the way. If this is true, I can't find a video of the Democratic Party's Mensa candidate, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Your girlfriend, yeah.
But this is all over. And even if she didn't say it, it is something that I believe.
She would say, yeah.
And the quote is, Donald Trump's new plan to eliminate the income tax is phobic and clearly designed to only help the employed U.S. citizen.
What's wrong with that?
And she says that like it's a bad thing.
Only going to help the folks who work. Oh, that's horrible. Don't help them.
Does that not sum up
yes.
the left?
It sure does.
That sums up the left.
Yeah.
They couldn't care less.
Yeah.
About working, taxpaying Americans. It's all about the illegals.
And handouts for people who don't want to go work.
It's all about the illegals.
You know, if you believe that, I'm not saying you're the dumbest person in the world, but you better hope the dumbest person in the world doesn't die.
For breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarthy on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
FM 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Shreveport City Councilman Grayson Butcher joining us. Grayson, good morning.
Hey, good morning, y'all. How are you?
Wonderful. Good. Thank you for joining us. You and Councilman Jim Taliaferro are hosting public forums tomorrow night. It's that one is at Broadmoor Library. Tell us, give us deets on that.
Sure. Yeah, we decided that we were going to have a public forum just to kind of discuss. We're getting a lot of calls from people that, you know, didn't see the meeting on last Tuesday and Monday, where we were able to ask, you know, the SWEPCO officials and the water department a lot of questions. I think the main concerns that I'm getting about the data center are more about, you know, water. Are we going to have enough water to do it? What's going to happen to the wastewater? And then what about SWEPCO and the rates for both? So, Jim and I thought it would be a good idea before this vote comes up on Thursday, you know, to bring everybody out and let them ask those questions.
Are you going to have SWEPCO and city officials there to answer those questions?
That is the plan, yes.
Okay. There are folks who are saying, this all sounds good. It sounds like we've got all our I's crossed, I's dotted, T's crossed. But what if things don't go like we're hearing? What if our water rates, we do have water issues. We do have low pressure in West Shreveport because of this data center. What if they don't hire as many workers as they promise? Are we putting safeguards in to make sure that we're protected?
So we are told, yes, that there are safeguards in place. As far as the water goes, just think about the usage. You know, millions of gallons of water. That will allow us, that we will be selling them. We're not giving them the water. We're selling it to them.
Mm-hmm.
That will allow us to make major infrastructure upgrades. Something else to keep in mind, and I made this point Tuesday's meeting, and I know a lot of people can't. The meetings are at horrible times. If I were chairman, I would change them to the afternoons, you know, after work or around 4 o'clock where people could come and be a little bit more informed. But, you know, that's, you know, 3 o'clock is hard for a lot of people to make. So I understand. And then others that watch it live stream can't watch it because they're working or doing something else. But, you know, the question I ask was, you know, how much water did the General Motors plant use? How much water did the Libby Glass plant use? Both of those use tremendous amounts of water. In fact, I've been told, and I don't have this, you know, just kind of off the record between myself and the director of water and sewage, or interim director of water and sewage, that, you know, GM used more water than this is proposed to use. So, you know, I understand what people's concerns are. We do have water pressure issues, but the water pressure issues in Southeast Shreveport are due to the fact of urban sprawl. And the reason we have urban sprawl is because we've annexed everybody we can to be able to pay our bills. So, you know, which came first, the chicken or the egg? So we're trying to bring in an industry that will, number one, give us a tremendous amount of sales tax. People think, well, we're abating a good bit of the tax, but we're still getting 1%, a third of 1% on a multi-billion-dollar project. That's number one.
Sales
number
tax,
two,
though, what do they sell?
The sales tax for building the building.
Okay, but that ends at some point, right?
And everything that goes into the building.
Okay.
You know, so everything that
are there property taxes abated?
Yes, the property taxes are abated.
Why do we do that? Why do we do that for these big companies, and we don't do it for small town businesses?
That is standard around the country to bring in big. And honestly, I don't think it really matters to people, but that's standard. These big companies have enough money. I heard Danny McCormick on there with y'all on, was it Friday or Thursday?
Mm-hmm.
He makes a very valid point. I don't think these big companies care, but that is standard to bring them in, because if we don't abate the taxes, then they're gonna move right over here to Harrison County, And that's what people need to understand. Let's say there are several acres in Karnak at the old Army ammunition plant, right? And I'm not trying to give anybody any ideas, but what if they move over there and Harrison County says, yeah, we'll give you tax abatements and we'll sell you all the water we can. And all the people that are worried about the water and all this other kind of stuff, all that is going to flow into our rivers and stuff anyway, in their mind. But it's not. It's going to be treated at the wastewater plant. And, it, you know, whatever runoff there is, there's not going to be any into the ground. So, I mean, it's going into the sewer system, and we can handle it. I've been assured by our water and sewer people. So all the questions have been answered for me, but I believe it's important for the citizens to hear exactly what we've heard, because there's a lot of misnomers that are going around about it.
Okay, I have to ask you this, because you represent Southeast Shreveport. If this was proposed on a big chunk of land near Ellerbe and Fly Lucas in your district, what would be happening to you right now?
Have you been out to the port lately?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have.
That's about a mile and a half. The
right.
Port owns land right there. So, I mean, I had that question asked. You must not have watched the meeting on Tuesday, because I had that question asked by a young lady. And I would be doing everything that I'm doing right now. If it were zoned industrial, like this is already zoned, that's another thing that
people
are missing.
That's a big point,
this,
right?
Grayson,
that's why the questions
point.
Like that to me are irrelevant.
You know, it's an industrial park. That's just like, how can I get? Let's say that the port wants to build a big plant on Highway 1 just south of Flournoy Lucas Road. They're acquiring all the land out there. I've got a street that's the port road. I'm sure that you followed that.
Sure.
The toll road is going through a neighborhood, and I own a lot in it. And, you know, I mean, if it's owned by right, there's really not much we can do. So, I mean, this is already an industrial park. So, you know, all they're doing, all this is a site plan approval, basically, because the plant's going to be so big, I believe. That's what I was told. I don't know. But it's just a site plan approval. That's it.
Do they have to come back before the council at some point for building permits and all that stuff? Does it come back before you ever again?
I don't think it does, no.
So Thursday is the vote?
Yes.
Do you have an indication on how the vote will go?
I don't. I have talked to a few council members, of course. Councilman Talaferro and I have talked, because we're getting the same questions. I mean, honestly, we have a lot of the same constituents. We overlap a lot. So, Jim and I talk a great deal about stuff. And we thought that this was the best way to get it out. So I would encourage everybody to come. And no question is a dumb question. Mm-hmm. I mean, but I would like people to keep in mind, we're not going into this blindly. I mean, we have asked a lot of questions, some that have been seen and some that have not been seen about this. And I think overall, this is a good thing for Shreveport as we move down the road. I really, really do. I think that the amount of sales tax for just building materials and things like that, and then selling the water, there's a lot of things that we'll be able to do with that money.
Alternative sites, people have said. The Libby glass plant, that whole thing could be torn down. That may not be big enough. I don't know. The GM plant, well, obviously that's not in the city limits. Y'all want this in the city limits. Are there better alternative sites in your view? Have you posed that question at all?
I've not heard the alternative site question. The people that have been very vocal about it, that are not just asking questions, but the ones that have been very vocal about it, have not wanted it in Shreveport at all, from what I hear.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand if on one hand you're saying that this is a bad thing and it's going to cause environmental issues, why would you want to put it right in the center of Shreveport? That didn't make a whole bunch of sense with Libby Glass. I mean, they've been trying to shut down Calumet for years. So, you know what I'm saying? If it's
right.
Got environmental problems, that doesn't make any sense to me. I think that this is a perfect location. If you were coming to put an industry in Shreveport, where are the first places you're going to look? Are you going to look in a residential neighborhood that's zoned residential or commercial, C1 to C2? No, you're going to be looking for an industrial park. And that's mm-hmm. what they found.
And
that's
we
what
have
that land is zoned.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that land is zoned. So I mean, what do they want? Something out there that makes cookies? I mean, I don't.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but if it makes.
Come on, Mrs. Fields.
Cookies, if it makes cookies, are diabetics going to be able to live close to it? What about the burn off of the sugar making the cookies? I mean, come on.
I'm allergic to chocolate. I can't be near chocolate. Anyway, you're a yes vote. You're a yes vote Thursday. You're pretty confident that all the I's have been dotted and the T's crossed.
I feel confident that the questions that I've asked and that I've asked on behalf of my constituents have been answered, yes. And unless something crazy comes up, then yes, I am a yes vote. Now, I want to take this back just one step. You know, Barksdale Air Force Base has 12,000 employees, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if back in the 20s we had done the same thing we're doing with the data center? Where do you think we'd be right now? Mm. What if?
Flying over us.
Right. We don't want weapons next to us. And then the other thing.
Well, Shreveport was in line to get Barksdale, and that happened. And it went to Bossier.
Wow.
Well, but we own the land. Shreveport owned the land, and we sell Barksdale water. Yeah. Our water's going to Barksdale. Mm. Should we shut that line off?
Mm. Goodness.
Okay, yeah. So once again, meeting tomorrow night at the Broadmoor Library.
Yes, and there's a meeting tonight at Bill Cockrell Park as well. I don't have the time on that.
Okay, cool.
But there are two different forums that you can go to and get your questions answered. And I would just encourage, if anybody has any questions, go and ask the questions and let the professionals ask. Because, you know, I know Mike Posada said something that was very poignant, in my opinion, at the last meeting. He said, you know, if I've got a headache, I'm going to ask a doctor how to cure a headache or, you know, some kind of illness.
Sure.
I'm not going to go ask somebody else. So my theory is, if I've got a cold, I'm not going to ask the person that's giving me my hamburger from McDonald's what I need to take.
Gotcha.
You know,
and you'll have the experts there at the meeting, Broadmoor Library.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow afternoon.
That's what the purpose of this is to get the answers. Now, people may not like the answers, and they may spin them in a way that they, you know, that fit whatever narrative there is. But, you know, all I can go off of is what the professionals are telling me. And I have absolutely no idea other than watching Back to the Future about gigawatts and things like that. That's the only thing I
Grayson, you and me both.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it, and we look forward to the meeting.
Hey, thanks. Y'all have a good morning. Merry Christmas, and I'll talk to y'all.
You bet.
Merry
you
Christmas.
Too.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710.
Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
I do want to clarify, of course, that conversation was from yesterday morning. Mm-hmm. So the meeting that he was talking about saying tomorrow night is tonight.
And there's no meeting tonight at Bill Cockrell.
No,
that was last night. So, yeah, just don't go to Bill Cockrell tonight. The meeting tonight is at the Broadmoor Library branch beginning at 5:30. And that's this is the last forum before the city council meeting. To my knowledge, if there's another forum, folks need to let me know about it. But there's one today, tonight, 5:30 at the Broadmoor Library. The council vote is tomorrow at 3. They're expecting a big crowd in the council chamber.
I actually would like to go to that meeting. Excuse me, but I can't. My wife's Sunday school Christmas party is tonight.
Oh, okay.
So, and I was told I was going.
Oh, okay. You were voluntold.
I was voluntold,
yeah.
Yes.
Even you got to take those up, yeah.
Not my Sunday school class, but no, I'm looking forward to
absolutely.
It. Absolutely. So I won't be able to make the meeting, though. Mm-hmm. But did you know there was a Shreveport Democratic Socialist of America?
I saw that, yeah.
Here?
I saw that.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
We're going to get into more of that coming up. But coming up after 7 o'clock, more of the data center conversation mm-hmm. with William Bradford.
You bet.
After last night's meeting. Mm-hmm. 101.7 FM, 710Kiel.com. Seven FM, 710 Kiel, Mike and McCarty. On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Shreveport attorney William Bradford joining us. William, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Aaron.
thanks for taking taking the time to join us this morning. There was a meeting last night at Bill Cockrell Park that you organized. First of all, explain, William Bradford, how you're involved in this and what your position is.
Yeah, so I am the community liaison for the development group that is proposing this project. Hired through them by them through my law firm, Blanchard Walker O'Quinn and Roberts.
And tell us, give us a summary. Everybody was excited. Everybody was positive. We were looking forward to moving. What was the general consensus from the meeting last night?
Well, first off, I want to say thank you to everyone who attended the meeting last night. We had a very good crowd, neighborhood, concerned neighbors, interested parties, general public, and it was a very diverse group of opinions. And we had an open and honest conversation about, you know, the proposed project. We heard their concerns. We took questions. We all provided information from the development standpoint, from the engineering standpoint, from the water and sewer standpoint. From SWEPCO, we had members from the SWEPCO team there, as well as Bill Sabo from Economic Development to talk about some of the jobs impacts. And we provided as much information as we possibly could. We were as transparent as we possibly could be. And again, we heard the concerns of the communities, the surrounding neighbors, the neighborhoods, and we tried to address those concerns as well.
Well, I know, and I was being unnecessarily sarcastic. Sorry about that. But
no problem.
But do you think any minds were changed? Do you think any concerns were alleviated with the answers from last night?
Well, I think there were people there who support the project. I think there were people there who wanted more information about the project, and hopefully those people left with the information they needed to make an informed decision. And then, of course, there were going to be people there who opposed it. But I can tell you this, the people who were there in support and the people who were there to gather information to make an informed decision far outweighed anyone in opposition. Everyone was respectful. And we definitely, you know, I'm from West Shreveport. I grew up in that area. I knew a lot of people in the room. And so it was just a really honest dialogue. And I, again, appreciate everyone taking time in their busy afternoons and their busy lives to hear information about a project that could benefit, you know, well beyond our generation for this area of the country.
Let me ask you a question, William Bradford. You have your big boy britches on because I've gotten this and they want me to ask you.
Sure.
And you know I will.
Of course.
Is there any connection? Former Mayor Tom Arsenault was with Blanchard mm-hmm. Walker, your law firm.
That's correct.
Any connection that got you the job with this developer connecting to the mayor?
No, the mayor and I, no, the answer is no. And I want to be very clear about this. The mayor and I are friends. The mayor and I were partners in law together. The mayor made a decision to run for mayor. He stepped away from the law firm and moved on with his life to the next stage of his life. I remained a lawyer, and I also became the vice president of external affairs for SWEPCO and ultimately have returned to the practice of law. But let me explain this to the public.
Okay.
That was done on my merit. I have friends, I have relationships, and that is part of who I am in this community. I know a lot of people in a lot of rooms, and I've had opportunities that have been invested in me by others, but I also can tell you that I stand on my own two feet. No one got me this job. Okay. No one pitched this on my behalf. It was something that I developed a relationship with the developer at my time during SWEPCO, and ultimately, when the opportunity arose and presented itself, I was able to capitalize and take it. So it was... So to answer your question, no, this has nothing to do with my relationship with the mayor.
Are there safeguards in place, William Bradford, if some of these reports
promises.
Are wrong, if some of the promises are wrong, are there safeguards in place if we can't provide the water, if electric rates do go up, if they don't hire as many people as they say they will, are there safeguards to protect the people who are opposed?
Yes. So the answer to your first question, the safeguards are both written in contract and they are written in law. You know, some of the same concerns that we have as citizens here were expressed last night. Okay, how does this impact my electric utility rates? Well, there are service agreements provided between the utility SWEPCO and the development that, one, provide there will be necessary upgrades to support this project. And two, more importantly, those upgrades will be paid for by the project and not passed along to the customers that currently exist on SWEPCO's electrical system. That is ultimately approved and vetted by the Louisiana Public Services Commission. Let's talk about water. We all know we need water upgrades. We all know we need revenue to support those water upgrades. And again, there is a water services agreement that provides for the ability of the city of Shreveport to support and provide water to this project. Ultimately, the project will have a maximum allowable capacity of 7.5 million gallons. But again, I used this example last night. You have to support water suppression, fire suppression. You have to support emergency services at your site and location on any commercial property. So that is a high water mark, no pun intended, for the capacity of that facility. That is not the everyday usage. That usage is expected to be closer to the 2 million, 3 million gallon mark. Mm-hmm. Now, for the safeguards in place for the customers and for the public, there are laws in place that regulate environmental regulations. These companies are leading industry leaders in environmental protection. They are concerned with environmental justice. They are concerned with fair practices in the environmental space. And so they have been historically leading edge on environmental protections. And so they intend to and will comply with all local, state, and federal environmental regulations, especially those surrounding health concerns.
Talking with Attorney William Bradford. William, you're a small business owner in Shreveport. One of the proposals is, and discussions have been, tax abatement for these huge companies that are coming in. What type of taxes are they going to be paying?
So, you know, the legislature in 2024 passed a law that said that any data center equipment, purchases, construction materials are exempted for local and state sales use tax. Part of the incentive package that was organized by the team here included a 1%. So instead of paying zero in sales taxes during the construction period, they'll pay 1%. And on a multi-billion dollar investment, that is a sizable number. And I want to be very clear, they're also paying a portion of the ad valorem taxes. Yes, I am a small business owner. And look, in a perfect world, we would all get some form of incentive. But we understand that when you're making the kind of capital investment on a competitive basis and the jobs investment on a competitive basis, like these companies are, as a state, we have to do things to be attractive. When I open my small business, I'm in Shreveport. I'm going to be here. I'm going to be here regardless. One of the things that we do as a state to compete against other states in order to attract large-scale capital investment like this is offer these types of incentives. And so regardless of the noise that's out there, there will be taxes, ad valorem taxes paid based on the capital investment of this company.
Ad valorem being property taxes for those who don't realize.
Property taxes.
Okay.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. This is a significant number. And I like to use this. Right now, this project is not here. When it is here, whether it pays 40%, 60% of its property taxes, it's paying that percentage more than we have right now in this community.
Right.
And on that scale, that is a sizable amount of new tax revenue to support new roads, new water infrastructure, to support additional job growth and economic development. And so, you know, I wanted to go back to something you asked earlier. There are commitments in that incentive package for 850 jobs minimum. And I use the SLB announcement that happened last week as a good example. SLB had a very similar incentive package. SLB exceeded what we expected to see based on that incentive and announced basically a doubling of size in order to support data center construction last week. Mm-hmm. So that's what these incentives do. We want to see them continue to outperform the baseline. What we set are the baselines. And these companies have a vested interest in performing and being successful, because if they don't, we write in clawbacks into these agreements. Those are millions of dollars of penalties that are treated as taxes. These aren't treated as contractual penalties. These are treated as taxes that the tax assessor can levy and that the sheriff's office can collect on.
Can you stay with us for another segment real quick?
Sure.
All right.
Talking with Attorney William Bradford about the proposed data center. And we'll be right back after the break. Mike and McCarty, 1017 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 1017 FM and 710 Keel.
Local Attorney William Bradford on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Follow up on last night's Bill Cockrell Park meeting on the proposed data center. William, a lot has been made about the NDAs that have been signed concerning this project. When will we know who this is, and when will the public get the information on this project?
I think I missed your question. cut in just at the end of it, but I believe you're asking me when will we know who this project is.
Yeah, there's been a lot a lot of questions about the NDAs that everybody has been required to sign, and people are like, hey, we want to know who this is. We want more information.
When will we know that?
When will the public get this information?
I think once we know that we have a deal in place, that information will be relayed to the public. Let me explain, and that topic came up last night. You know, there's this illusion that I think that is just false, that this NDA process is nefarious. This is industry standard. This happens whenever you have a large-scale economic development opportunity across the country, in any city, in any state. NDAs are signed for a few reasons. First off, there are studies that need to be done on the front end of determining whether a site is appropriate for that type of development. So those non-disclosure agreements are put in place so that the people who are conducting the studies, the people who need to be providing information to the developer, don't go out and talk about it. Because what happens to property values when someone knows that a large-scale project is potentially locating near or around their property? Prices all of a sudden start going up, right? So there are reasons why you put NDAs in place. There's not some nefarious purpose in this situation. This is to protect the integrity of the economic development process and to ensure that we don't impact the commercial viability of this project or future projects for the developer, because this is a competitive landscape. If you look at the internet, you'll see that there are tons of these data centers being proposed and being discussed, and some communities are accepting them openly, and some communities may have some challenges there. But ultimately, this is a commercially sensitive process. And so the developer is very cautious about revealing their future planning to their competitors. And so we protect the integrity of that process, but we also have the transparency of going through the public comments phase, going to the city council meetings. And that's what I explained to the group last night, is that this is, you know, do I wish the process personally were improved to a place where we could get a little more open about it earlier on? Sure. But the reality is we operate within the rules we have set forth now.
What? Let me ask you, what other, you own property in West Shreveport.
Yeah.
What other kinds of development, kind of a good note here, what other kinds of development do you expect to see in West Shreveport as a result of this if it's passed?
Look, you know, with the amount of new traffic, and when I say traffic in a good way, the amount of new people who will have an interest in West Shreveport, I think you'll see additional and improved hotels. I think you'll see restaurants. I think you will see housing. You know, I think you will see the types of developments that center around this type of this scale of economic development. So a lot of the things that the people in West Shreveport, my family included, would like to see only come as a result of additional investment in that area. So because you're going to see improved infrastructure, water and sewer infrastructure in West Shreveport, because you'll see improved traffic counts, you'll see more economic development, more small businesses locating out there, because there are people now out there to support that type of industry.
What do you say, and I'll ask it to you this way, you and your wife are successful, two young children. Would William Bradford and your lovely wife, would y'all want to live within 500 feet of a data center?
Based on what I have seen, I would not be concerned. I've been to the data centers. I see the surrounding areas. I see the development and growth that's happening around them. So personally, yes. And then I'll bring it home for you, Aaron. My parents live right down the street, right? They're in that area of concern for these citizens, right? These neighborhoods that are most directly impacted by this. And again, I advocate for this, not because I'm hired to do so. I advocate because I know Shreveport needs an opportunity to grow. And this provides just that. It provides us needed capital investment without, quite frankly, the large scale infrastructure impact that some other types of growth could yield. And to be very clear, this is an industrial park that exists already.
Thank you. That's where I was.
There is a site plan that is approved already that allows for a large-scale distribution. We're talking trucks backing in. We're talking chemical processes. This is none of that. This is not a high-traffic usage. This is not a heavy load usage. I think people see the size and scale of it and become concerned. But when you talk about the highest and best use of this type of industrial park, this is the cleanest type of property, type of development that could allow, that could go into.
This is like best case scenario for an industrial park.
I believe it is.
Well, it will be heavy traffic for the construction phase. You've got to admit that.
Sure.
I mean, it's going to be busy.
Sure. Yeah, there will be incorrect, and we will work with the community first, and we will work with the officials to ensure that we have a good traffic solution in place, that we have the most minimal impact on the surrounding neighborhoods. I expressed this last night on behalf of the developer and on behalf of myself, that the first concern is the community. Because when you make this, one, because we're all humans and we are all neighbors, but two, when you make this type of capital investment, you want it to be successful. You don't want to be a blight on the surrounding area. You want to be seen as a strong community partner, and that's where we are in this process.
William Bradford, we appreciate your time. Great information, and we will stay in touch.
Thank you so much. It's always great to see you or hear from you all, and happy holidays. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
to you and your family. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Max Chambers, Shreveport 14-year-old, last night wrapped it up.
Mm-hmm. We're going to hear that when we come back. How's that sound?
Okay.
All right. We'll tell you how he did.
And he's coming back today.
Expected to be back today. I'm waiting to see how soon he'll be in town. We'll talk about that when we come back.
And we'll he's going to be at the airport. I'm just, she's going to throw something at me.
Where's a snot rag?
No! 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Did you watch the show last night?
I did. Okay. I did. I watched, they did a pre-show. I didn't watch it all. I mean, I skipped past some of the stuff, but I love Reba McEntire, so whenever she's up performing, I'm...
How can you not love Reba? Can you not love Reba?
I will never forget. I have a great Reba story. Reba came to town with Kelly Clarkson, who was her daughter-in-law at the time. And I took one of my children, who shall remain nameless because he doesn't want me to talk about him on the radio, so we'll leave it alone. And he was at that age where it was cool to be with him, but it was not cool to be with him. He was right there in the middle. And I said, you want to go backstage and meet Reba and Kelly Clarkson? And he was, yeah, that'd be kind of cool. So we go backstage, and he gets between. He's in the Reba. And I'm not one. I've never taken all those celebrity. I don't care about those celebrity photos. Right. But for my children, I did it. And he gets in between Reba and Kelly Clarkson. And they both put their fingers in his hair and start going, oh, my God, he's so adorable. He's so cute.
I know which one it is now.
Right. And he is sitting there looking at me like, this could be cool. This could be really embarrassing. But I think he has cherished that photo. I mean, you know, anyway, that's my Reba story. So I just love Reba McEntire. She's just a doll. Last night, Max was in the finale because of the voters. Voters put him in the finale. There were six there. And he was on Michael Bublé's team. So he got to sing with his coach. And they were doing Christmas tunes. And this is what they did last night.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue just thinking about you. Here with me, and when those blue
Wow, wow, wow. What a great way.
He's got a good voice. He does. He's got a strong voice.
And I mean, he's been on Broadway. He played the young Michael Jackson in the Michael Jackson Broadway show.
I can see that. I can hear that.
What an angel. What an angel. Finished fifth last night. He did not win.
Right.
I really had high hopes, but he did not win. So he finished fifth on the show. He is expected back in Shreveport. We anticipate sometime this afternoon. They want to have a big welcoming at the airport.
Right.
So, soon as we know, you know, we will let you know. I think those folks at SRAC are trying to gather folks to go down there and with signs and welcome him back. So, it's just great when we have, and he's 14 for crying out loud.
I know.
He did the Stevie Wonder show in the Stevie Wonder song in the knockout rounds. You can see that, by the way, keelnews.com. You can see some of his latest performances. That was my favorite. Don't you worry about a thing. He blew it out of the water. It was incredible.
I'm wondering how he's going to sound when his voice changes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'm not a huge fan of that Christmas song. When Michael Bublé announced that's what they were going to sing, I was like, oh, I would have rather it been, you know, something real, more for me, a slower version. I would have liked to seen him do a Silent Night or something like that.
Oh,
but,
yeah, one of my favorites.
That was good. It wasn't Reba. You know, it wasn't. I think Reba did Mary Did You Know with one of hers, so that was really great.
That's such a strong, powerful song.
Yeah, it's a very, very powerful song. So, he was just such a talent, and his career ahead of him. Gosh knows where this young man's going to go.
Right.
And every night when he was on, he wore a crucifix. He had a crucifix on his as a necklace. Different, you know, gold, silver, different colors, but you can tell he is definitely a child of God, and his family is
The song that he sang.
Oh, I know. He's simply an amazing young man and so very talented.
Right.
So exciting for him. Spotlight on Shreveport was huge. We're going to welcome him home with open arms and, you know, who knows where he goes from here.
Big changes at LSU Med with the decision out of Baton Rouge to put the medical centers all under one umbrella now.
Yes.
It's caused quite the consternation.
You bet it has.
And we're going to talk with a local physician, Dr. Philip Roseman, after the news top of the hour and get another perspective. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Kiel, and on the free Kiel app.
Back Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel.
What'd your girlfriend say? Read that again. You have it in front of you again? What your girlfriend said?
What are you talking about?
AOC?
Oh. Yeah.
Is that really true? Did you track that down? I can't believe somebody really said that.
Well, you know, when you
she's not his girlfriend. He's a happily married man. FYI.
Yeah, when you hear some of the things that she has said,
yeah,
this wouldn't surprise me at all. Mm-hmm. Now, I can't confirm, but it is all over.
Yeah.
The interweb.
This is the ignorance of some folks.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the face, the Mensa candidate of the Democrat Party.
Yeah.
And I'll quote, Donald Trump's new plan to eliminate the income tax is phobic and clearly designed to only help the employed U.S. citizen.
Where's the flaw there?
That she says like it's a bad thing.
It needs to help the unemployed too?
No.
Unemployed don't pay an income tax. Does she know that?
No, I doubt it. But Aaron, that totally encapsulates the theory of the left. It's not about U.S. taxpaying citizens.
Mm-hmm.
It's about illegals. It's about giving out more. It's about buying votes. Follow the money.
She didn't really say that. She's not that ignorant. She cannot be that ignorant.
And, you know, and I've heard even our beloved Mike Johnson has said, please give her a microphone. Let her keep talking.
Run her her for president, please.
Please.
Please run her for president against whoever the Republican is. They will win.
And I see that, except for the fact, Aaron, I said that back in 2015 when they were going to run Joe Biden for mm-hmm. president. And I'm like, yes, put him out there. Mm. And then they got him in. I'm not going to say he won. They got him in.
Yeah.
Look at New York. If you listen to Mamdani's, some of the things that he was saying during the campaign, not to mention before.
Yeah. I wish I owned.
And I'm like, oh my gosh. Yeah. Run.
Wish I owned a moving company in New York City. Golly.
And he got elected.
Yep. Yep.
Jasmine Crockett running for Congress now in Texas. And conservatives are going, yes, please. No, I'm telling you.
They're getting in.
They're getting elected.
Midterm's going to be important next year. They're going to be really important next year. Could change the course of our nation forever. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying.
Coming up after the news, top of the hour, Dr. Philip Roseman going to be joining us. There's changes going on at LSU Med mm-hmm. that some are saying kind of happened in the middle of the night.
The way they did this, it's I'm smelling rats.
We'll find out more after the news. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710Keel.com. .017 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. Now, we spoke to Thomas Presley, state senator, earlier this week about these changes. And I can't say proposed changes because the vote went through on LSU Med. They're really, well, I tell you what, let's get Dr. Philip Roseman to explain what did they do? Why did they do it in the middle of the night? And can we reverse it? First of all, good morning. Thanks for coming in.
Good morning. And, you know, there's a history of this that goes way back with the desire for our community that there be a chancellor here in Shreveport for the LSU Health Science Center in Shreveport. And there's a lot of reasons for that. And that's why I think Thomas Presley, Sam Jenkins, both, wrote a letter saying, hey, I didn't know anything about this.
Right.
I think that you should have called me or talked to me about this, and we should discuss it.
Explain what they did, because folks may just be jumping on the train.
Well, they have decided to kind of change the organization chart.
And when you say they, the administration at LSU, at LSU Baton Rouge.
LSU Board of Supervisors. Yes.
Board of Supervisors. As such, we have at this time or before now had a chancellor that was specific for our school here.
And the chancellor for New Orleans.
Chancellor for New Orleans, chancellor for the Ag Center, for mm-hmm. that matter. They're part of this process, too. And instead, now there's a decision made to move the chancellorship, the final decision making, to Baton Rouge. And there will be a vice chancellor here, a vice chancellor in New Orleans, a vice chancellor of the Ag Center. So this kind of diffuses out the decision making over a lot more people, and there's a lot of concern about the priorities that exist in Baton Rouge about who's going to get attention, who's going to get resources, who's going to get money. How is that all going to be divided up? And we don't have a strong chancellor here to help make those decisions.
We have an interim here right now, correct?
We do. The independence, you'd say, well, does it matter that there's independence or matter that there's autonomy? And I would say this, I think that a good example of that, why that's important, is right here. It's actually LSU Shreveport. Because LSU Shreveport, because it was autonomous, because it was independent, it was able to solve some of its own problems by developing virtual programs.
Mm-hmm. That NBA program administration, is hot. Yeah.
NBA.
Right.
And during a time when there was not a lot of money to go around, and it was bad times at LSU, LSU brought themselves up by the bootstraps, and the teachers there, the faculty there, worked with a company outside and built something that's really spectacular, and it's helped support them for all these years. And some of the growth that goes on at LSU Shreveport is because of the independence and the nature of being able to make decisions.
And known as a very strong academic school.
Yes, absolutely.
I want to make it clear, because they sent me an email. This does not impact LSU Shreveport, the university.
Right, this is the medical.
Yeah, I'm just taking that as an example why independence is important.
What could this hurt at the LSU Health Science Center? What are your fears that will happen?
My fears is that the things that are important to our community related to LSU Shreveport Health Science Center are enormous. It's a significant driver in our community. My concern is that the priorities that we have here at LSU Health Science Center in Shreveport will take a second seat to the priorities, more a second seat to the priorities of the flagship LSU or even the LSU New Orleans. There's this concern about what I would call priorities. Mm-hmm. And that's especially important when you get down to what Thomas Presley was talking about, probably in the capital outlay and all of these decisions that are made about spending money. I think one of the things that I still remember from the last time we did this is not the first time. One LSU kind of proceeded thing is something that was done talked about 15, 20 years ago, and then previously 30 years ago with Virginia Sheehy when she was in the legislature. So this is a long-standing issue.
Taking it even deeper than that, Dr. Philip Roseman, there are some that are saying, is this the first step? Because it's been discussed before, and historically, that Baton Rouge wants the medical center in Baton Rouge. They want the Shreveport Medical Center. That's been a fear for a while. Is this the first step in that maybe long process?
Well, I don't think so, for a number of reasons. Most of all is that they have a whole huge investment now already in Shreveport and buildings. And thing it would be a significant to move to Baton Rouge would cost millions and billions of dollars in just trying to build something there
just
that they already have in Shreveport.
And then they'd be within 75 miles of another medical school.
Correct.
Which would be silly.
Yes.
What now, Dr. Roseman? Can this be reversed? Could legislation be passed to reverse this? What does our local community need to do?
Well, Thomas Presley will tell you that there's already legislation that's on the books. I mean, so...
He told us that.
That basically says that this can be done. I expect that if there's a concern about that there'll need to be exploration, you know.
Possibly a legal challenge of the board's action?
Yeah, the legal challenge of the board on this, because it's a statute.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was speaking with somebody yesterday that said also that there's a legal requirement that a campus – there's a geographical boundary. If it's a certain number of miles away from another camp, it can't be encapsulated into as another campus. Are you familiar with that?
Yeah, we...
And does this apply?
We talked about that last time, 15, 20 years ago, and that was the case. I don't know if that's changed. It seems like by what they're talking about, what they expect out of this, that's all changed. But, again, I don't know. I haven't got that deep into it.
Can you stay with us? I have a few more questions.
Yes.
Cool.
Dr. Philip Roseman in studio, Mike and McCarty discussing the changes at LSU Med, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Dr. Philip Roseman in studio. Micah McCarty, changes at LSU Med. Philip, you mentioned a minute ago about one LSU. So this is not the first time this has been this kind of deal. Explain one LSU and how that didn't happen and how this is different.
Well, this is very, very similar to what one LSU project was about. One
this
LSU was
15,
about
20 years ago.
About 15, 20 years ago. One LSU was a project about LSU as a flagship and the importance of moving up the rankings and all these different research and then just general rankings in colleges. There was a great concern about that. But when they did one LSU, it wasn't in the dark of night. One LSU, they produced it, they discussed it, they brought it here to discuss with community leaders here. They got feedback and decided not to do some of the things that we felt were not the best things for our community.
And one LSU would affect LSU Alexandria and LSU Shreveport.
The whole org chart. It affected the whole org chart. But it was, again, similar decisions to what we're seeing today, only it was discussed then. And so we had the opportunity to give our feedback. This was apparently announced one day and then voted on in the next day.
Very shady.
And before you know it, it's done.
My concern I have several concerns. And one, I'll ask you in your doctor capacity, does this kind of decision impact recruiting? I mean, obviously we've been looking for a chancellor here. Who's coming as a chancellor here now if the job's gone?
Absolutely right. When we talked about this before and as it stands now, it reduces the pool of people who are interested in it that may be the people that you want to be your leader at the school. I remember when the previous chancellor was here, it was very, very important, the title chancellor, as far as attracting him to come to this opportunity. And it's the same with the future. Mm-hmm. It does limit when you're looking for a vice chancellor versus you're looking for a chancellor.
Sure.
Just think about it.
Lots of vice chancellors want to move up. They want to be
right.
A chancellor somewhere.
And if you're a chancellor, you can move up into a greater medical school.
Does it also impact recruiting of doctors and instructors? Because if I go Google LSU Board of Supervisors and I see all the mess with the coach and with the governor getting involved and, we're going to report to them? That's who we report to? I'm out. I go to Texas.
Yeah. I mean, that's true, too.
Was the governor involved in this?
I'm talking about the coaching.
I know, but I'm asking,
right.
Was the governor involved? I haven't heard it.
I don't think so.
Okay.
But he's taken strong control over who's on the LSU Board of Supervisors.
He has. He has. So I don't know what goes on behind the scenes.
Right.
I just know that.
Are you suspect of that?
No, not particularly. I haven't heard anything that would make me think
I hadn't either.
This was a major issue for him.
Which made me curious.
There's other things that he has
right.
Major issues.
So the doctor recruiting could be an issue too then?
Yeah. I mean, just, anything that weakens LSU Health Science Center Shreveport is going to, reduce its place. It's harder to recruit the students you want. It's harder to recruit the faculty that you want. We need some feeling that there's security and independence and autonomy and that, the school is on a good path. And all of these things all get put together. And so they don't look good out to those that we're trying to recruit.
Well, we touched on it earlier, but in our last minute, can a legal challenge be mounted? Can this be reversed?
I'm not a lawyer, but I would think that there could be a legal challenge to this because of, again, I haven't read the statute, but I just trust Thomas Presley. And if there is a concern about this, then, I think a challenge with a legal challenges.
And Sam Jenkins as well.
You bet. What can the general public do? Do you have some advice for them?
I really don't know what to say. I think that LSU is coming up sometime this week. I don't know who they're speaking to. I think people should be aware of it and really should give the community support for those that are wanting to look at this more closely than what we're doing right
you
now.
Bet.
Dr. Philip Roseman, thank you so much. You know, you got to hit the road.
Well, thank you very much.
You got patients waiting. He's in his scrubs.
He is. Thanks, Doc.
All right. Thank
you. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
For breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEO.
So, everybody's out of the headquarters now.
Yes.
1234 Texas.
Mm-hmm. They're all gone.
Address kills me. 1234.
It's a great address.
Yeah. Is it, though? I want to talk about that when we get back.
Okay.
Because this is huge, actually.
Bids are in.
Bids are in.
Yeah, we got some stuff.
Yeah. I love that lowest bid process.
Yeah, yeah. I found some cool things in the documents, though. I was up reading at 2:30 this morning, reading bid documents.
Aaron,
I trust
seriously.
Truth, that's the truth. I emailed the mayor at 2:38 this morning. That's really what I did.
I know.
Yes. He can testify.
I don't get it. I don't understand.
Welcome to my life.
Never mind. Okay, we'll talk about that when we get break.
Sorry for the 2:38 email, city officials.
Well, it didn't wake him up.
It's I hope not.
He probably has a bong. Yeah.
Can you imagine having a ding for every email the mayor gets?
Oh, I used to.
Oh, no.
On my phone,
no.
It used to notify any emails. I'm like, oh, I turned that off very quickly.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, I know. Yeah. No.
Anyway.
No.
Oh, we'll talk about this next.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 KEO.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
I got a buddy, and I'm not going to name names, and I'm not going to name the place, okay? But he says the Shreveport Police Department are temporarily housed in the building where he works.
Okay.
And we were at lunch one day, and he goes, I had to get out of the building.
Why?
The smell of pot is so prevalent.
They're in there smoking pot?
No, they bring the confiscated.
I'm joking.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm joking.
Okay, yeah. And he can't wait for them to get back into their permanent headquarters. So I'm going to tell him, well, you got at least 2 more years.
The funny thing happened to me yesterday. I was perusing the city's bid page, and which I do every now and then just to see, is there any cool little nuggets? And I saw that the bids for the SPD headquarters were due on December 16th. That was the final day to submit.
Okay.
And I thought, well, cool. So I went and clicked on it to see, let me see the specs, let me look at it. And you had to log in like as if you were a contractor. And I thought, used to be you could just open them and see the specs. You know, I used to could just get into that page. Well, now they've got it locked down somehow. So I emailed the city leaders. I said, hey, I want to see the specs for the for the bids.
You know, of course you did.
Show me, you know, send me the documents on what the bid looks like, because I can't log in. I don't want to be a contractor. I don't want to log in. So they later that afternoon, Shelley Ragel sent me several links to, you know, all the different proposal, you know, all the first the opening, here's this overall, here's the technical. I mean, it was all kind of technical crap. And I said, good. I emailed back. I said, good. Looks like I got a lot of great reading to do. LOL. And she was like, yeah, you
right.
do. And so then about 2 or 3 hours later, after I get all these documents, this is when I get really upset. Then the mayor's staff sends out a news release saying, oh, the bids are in for the new headquarters. And here I'm like, I was working on that. Why are y'all leaking that out to everybody? Good night. If I hadn't drawn attention to it, would they have leaked it out? They didn't leak it out. They have been
released
other
the information.
Yeah, they released it. Yeah, the bids were in, and here's who got it. Hand Construction Company of Shreveport bid $22,152,000, which is about 10% less than the architect's estimate. It was in the 2021 bond issue that we approved. We approved just public safety, fire and police. There were three other bidders for the job. Now, because I was up reading at 2:30 in the morning, I found a little bit more info. It's going to be a three-story building, about 60,000 square feet. The mayor expects the work to begin in early 2026 and wrap up before the end of 2027.
Now, this existing structure at 1234 Texas, mm-hmm. it's a former hospital.
Yes.
Constructed originally in, what, the 20s?
I'm not sure.
So this is an historic building.
It really is. And
they're not tearing this down. It was City Hall.
They're tearing part of it down.
I thought they were just gutting it.
Well, part of the, and that's what I found in the documents. I found the word demolition in part of it.
Demolition could mean they're tearing walls down inside.
It looks like one part of the structure is being demolished. I think the part that faces Texas, mm-hmm. I think that looks like a hospital. I think that's being preserved. I'm waiting on the renderings. I have, again, at 2:30 in the morning, I requested, I want to see the renderings,
the renderings
of what this looks like. And also, the document says the contract calls for construction time of 800 consecutive days, which would take it beyond that projected date of 2027, I thought.
Oh.
But if you count those days, that means 800 straight days. But you got to take out the weekends, the holidays, and any rain
days. You're going to have weather delays.
Going to have some weather stuff. So it is pretty accurate that the end of 2027 is the projected date when you take out those days where the contractor won't be working. So I'm hoping they are on a schedule that's better than Knight Street. But we'll see. But it's exciting.
You got to let the Knight Street go.
I know.
You got.
I know.
Now, but I say that. I don't drive it every day.
Right, exactly.
So I'm gonna.
The description of the work says, and I'm quoting, the bid document says, quote, this project consists of demolition of an existing building along with most of the existing pavement area adjacent to the existing structures. Renovation for one of the existing structures, and constructing a new three-story structure in the area of the demolished building and new parking and drive areas. So that's in the bid documents, what time was I reading this?
2:38 in the morning.
Yeah, so I read a little deeper into it. So they are demolishing something, so that's why I want to see the renderings. What's going to be demolished? What part of the building is going to be torn down? What part's being gutted? And, you know, the city, in the documents, it also says the city's responsible for removing everything, you know, all the property that's in there. And I think they've already done that. They're close to it. Now, when they hit the notice to proceed, the company then has 10 days and then you're on the clock. So that's
now,
the deal.
Not that this falls under what I'm about to say. When you look at this building, it's not a particularly appealing
building
to look at.
No, it's
okay?
not.
It's not like some of the older historic buildings in downtown Shreveport.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, if they tear this down, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Right.
And especially these police officers and administration that work in this building are going, you have no idea.
Right, exactly.
You have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
But when they built new buildings now, Aaron, are completely utilitarian.
Right.
There's no seeming thought, and there's nobody wants to spend any money, and this is government, this is taxpayers' money, so I understand some of this.
Aesthetics is out the window, yeah.
Aesthetics is out the window, and that's a shame.
It is. It really is a shame. Put up these boxes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be, the thing about, they have scaled this back from the original proposal. Because we have decided on the substations. So you don't need your police headquarters to be as big as it used to be because you now have substations where some folks are assigned. So that's how they've scaled it back a little to meet within the budget.
And the substations aren't unattractive buildings.
No, they look pretty good. But this is going to be a very secure building. It's not going to have all these entrances where you can enter from like that you used to be able to. It's going to be built for a police headquarters.
I want to see renderings.
They're coming. They promised me. They're coming.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel. Thanks for spending time with Mike and McCarty.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
I think you had it in your, because we talked off mic in your news, the cat-killing priest.
Admittedly, he pled guilty.
Is not. What he was going to be reassigned to Shreveport from
West Memphis, a church in West Memphis.
Now that's in Arkansas.
Yes,
West Memphis.
Right, it's across the river.
Arkansas,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And he pled guilty to, he got the animal rights groups were alerted to him by I think some neighbors who saw him. He was catching feral cats in traps, I guess.
Okay.
And then they were concerned about what he was doing with the cats. And so I think the police were called in, and they found at least two dead cats in his home. I'm not sure if he was living in a rectory or if he lived in a separate home. I don't know the status.
So disturbing.
But apparently he was putting them in the little crates and then drowning them in the bathtub. And then he was pulling the crates up and, you know, disposing of the cats, I guess. So we don't know how many cats, but two dead cats were found in the home.
Did he say why he was doing this?
I don't think he did. I don't know. It's just, and someone called me yesterday and we were talking about this, and they said to me, typically somebody who does this has been abused in their childhood. And somebody that will kill an animal.
Because that's not normal behavior.
No, it's absolutely not.
It's not normal behavior.
And to be a priest, somebody that is supposed to offer love and kindness to all and be there for the community, and then to know that they're going to reassign him to just another city, hoping that nobody will find out. And come on, it's 2025, for crying out. I was trying to figure out what year is it.
How
are you going to keep this hidden?
How did it come to light that he was, because this is a new story in West Memphis.
Right.
How did people in Shreveport find out this guy was coming?
I'm not sure. Probably somebody new in Memphis. Somebody knew somebody here. You know, that's typically how it works.
Okay.
Hey, I saw this story in Memphis and this guy's coming your way or something like that. I don't know if it was somebody in connecting with the church that leaked it out. I don't know. But, I mean, as soon as he got to his new church, guess what the parishioners would do? They would Google him.
Okay.
And they would find that he pled guilty to killing cats. I mean, so you think, well, he's declined to come to Shreveport.
So he's not coming to Shreveport.
No, he's 63-year-old Charles Thessing, and he has requested not to be sent to Shreveport from West Memphis. We don't know yet what his future holds.
Well, they're not enough feral cats here.
Promise we got a bunch of them.
No, I know. I do.
Ask our buddy Michael Powell. He does that all day, typically. But it's a problem here. But I don't know where he's going. At 63, though, he could retire. They could retire him and put him in the system.
How do you retire from being a priest?
Oh, it's nice. You get a good retirement. And Ruben and I were talking about it earlier. Some of them get houses. Some of them get a nice, you know, nice living arrangement. They get a pretty good retirement. They typically have good health care, you know, through their retirement years. So, you know, if he's been a priest at any length, and he's 63, so I assume he's been a priest for, you know, many decades. I don't know.
So then once you retire, then do you go and get married? And
I don't know. I don't know that you give up, but you can come back and sub. You know, there's lots of retired priests when somebody's going vacation or something. Retired priests come back and they sub at different churches. I mean, there's an obvious shortage of priests, so that's why you don't just fire him and go, get out of here. You got a shortage of priests all over the country right now.
A meeting tonight, Broadmoor Library, for the proposed data center. Jim Taliaferro and Grayson Butcher hosting this meeting. You can voice your concerns, and then we'll have That's at 5:30 mm-hmm. at the Broadmoor Library. Then we'll have Jim Taliaferro on with us tomorrow morning.
You bet.
To do a follow-up on that meeting. Mm-hmm. 101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.